The gospel for today is from the 10th chapter of Matthew, verses 24 to 39. A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. And whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. The word of the Lord.
Please be seated.
Well, I hope I'm not the only one when I say that sometimes in my busy life, it's hard to know what to prioritize. And I don't know if you've ever looked at a day you have in front of you yet to live, and you look at the million things that needs to be done, and you just think it's hard to know where to even begin. I had a day like that recently as I was preparing to write this sermon. I had gotten a flat tire, and our tires were like from 1832. They were really old, and so we needed to buy some new tires. I needed to go buy some new tires. You also pay me, so I needed to go to work and be in the office and complete some work projects. I needed to write this sermon. I also needed to go home and clean because our house was a wreck because we'd been on travels, and then my parents were about to come into town. And of course, Stephanie's chasing around the two kids, and so I had to lend her a hand there, cleaning, and then of course help with the kids as well, changing dirty diapers, playing with our older son, feeding them when they're hungry, the things they expect. And hopefully when all this is done, spend some time with my wife, a little quality time, and the World Cup is on, and I'm a crazy soccer nut, so if I got all that stuff done, then maybe watching a game that I had recorded. So there's all that, and then there's kind of this feeling of, oh yeah, and God. Yeah, God's probably important too. I know I need to attend to my faith as well. I need to attend to my faith in God and what God calls me to. But it can be really hard to prioritize God when it seems like our to-do lists are just so long and so endless, and maybe so much more important. And often, I think for many of us, and certainly for me, our faith lives do become a kind of, oh yeah, and God. God's kind of the end of the list, and the practices we have that keep us involved in our faith can easily get squeezed out or pushed to the bottom of the list. And I don't think there's any doubt that we live in a busy time, but I think sometimes we give ourselves too much credit with our busyness. We might be tempted to think that we're the busiest people ever who've ever lived, and people who lived before us just weren't as busy. And yeah, maybe they had God and faith as more center of their lives, but you know, they had more time. They didn't have all the things we have. But the truth is that in many ways, people in the old days, people in ancient times, had a much more intense schedule because they had to spend the whole day just doing the things that you have to do to stay alive when you don't have all the machines and technology that we have. And yet they fit God into their schedule, right? So generations past didn't have things like cars and cell phones or dishwashers or washing machines or running water or medicine or email. When a person in Jesus' day wanted water, they didn't have it in their house, so they'd have to walk however far the nearest well was. Probably in many cases, it could be 20 minutes, an hour, even. They talk about even today, poor communities in Africa, someone might walk 3 hours to get water at the well, and you'd have to bring this big kind of either a bag or some sort of heavy tub to put it in and then carry it back, however long that is. And if you wanted to then wash your clothes, you'd have to do it by hand. My wife and I spent a little time in Kenya where we didn't have a dishwasher, and we lived with these orphans, and we would wash our clothes by hand next to them, and it took a long time, and it was painful. They had really strong hands. I had weak, wimpy first world hands and would get all these blisters from trying to do it. If they wanted to go somewhere, they had to walk or maybe take a donkey, or if they wanted to eat, they would have to grow their own food and harvest it and cook it all day. There was no microwaves. If they wanted to even tell a loved one a message, there was no email, there was no phones. And so, you know, they might have to walk from, imagine if you just had to walk from here to Mandan and relay a message. I mean, that would be a long time. And so in many ways, people in the ancient days weren't less busy. They were more busy, except for they were just staying alive with their busyness. And so whatever age we live in, whether we're ancient people or in our cases, modern people, postmodern people, Jesus comes to us today with a pretty intense reading and with a radical message. And this is Jesus' basic message, I think, today. Put God first in your life, not last. Put God first in your life. Don't allow the demands of work, don't allow your anxieties, whatever they are, or your fear of rejection in the faith, or even your responsibilities, the important ones, maybe your responsibilities to family, don't allow anything to pull you away from following Jesus. And let's be clear, because there's no sense pretending it's not there, Jesus uses some pretty scary language today when he's talking about how God expects us to strive to put God first. He uses some pretty scary language. He says things like, "Whoever denies me before others, I will also deny them before my Father in heaven." He says, "I have not come to bring peace, but the sword." He says, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." And we kind of think of our little Sunday school Jesus, who is always smiling and ready to hug us and warm and fuzzy and just kind of, "Jesus loves me, this I know." And we think, is this the same Jesus? What is he doing? He seems so angry. Well, I think one thing to do is to take this reading seriously, but at the same time realize that sometimes I think Jesus spoke in hyperbole, right? Hyperbole means you overstate your case in order to make a point. And there's lots of times that Jesus did that. One of the most famous examples that I think none of us read very literally, but we take it seriously nonetheless, is Jesus has a sermon where he's talking about making little ones, maybe children, stumble, right? Being a stumbling block, how somehow hurting a child. And he says, if you expect to make someone stumble in the future, it would be better if you would tie a rock around your neck and jump into a lake and drown yourself. Well, I don't know about you, but there's a good chance even today I'll make someone stumble, and I know I'm going to make someone stumble sometime in the future. You probably will too. And so if Jesus is being literal in a sermon like that, then probably we all need to like head over to the Missouri and drown ourselves, right? But probably Jesus isn't being serious. He's probably saying, I expect you to strive not to harm each other. Well, it's the same way I think in today's reading. Jesus wants to be taken seriously, even if not taken literally, because he says something like, whoever denies me before the Father, I will also deny in heaven. Well, Peter denies Jesus 3 times, right, in the Passion story, and yet Jesus reconciles with him. He says, I come to bring the peace, but not peace, but the sword, right? Not peace, but the sword. And yet this is the same Jesus in the same gospel who says, blessed are the peacemakers. He says, whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And yet elsewhere in Scripture, he lifts up the Ten Commandments and specifically honor your father and mother as an important part of the discipleship life. And so, yeah, he wants to be taken seriously, even if he's not always speaking literally. But of course, using hyperbole to make a point is something that we all do. Have you ever had a parent who's really mad because you've been ignoring them, cleaning your room maybe, and they say something like, clean your room or you're going to be grounded forever? Well, hopefully they won't actually ground you forever if you don't clean your room. But they are saying, I want you to clean your room, right? Well, this is similar. Jesus is trying to make a point, even if not a literal point. He's even trying to unsettle us. I think what Jesus is attacking in no uncertain terms today is our tendency that we all have. It's a tendency I have. It's a tendency that you probably have had at one time or another to push God at the bottom of your to-do list, of your list of priorities. It's to act as if our faith isn't the whole story of our lives. It's a little blip in our life. Maybe it's our Sunday morning blip, and then we live the rest of our lives. Well, today Jesus convicts us of this kind of attitude and calls on us to put God at the center of actually everything we do. And as we think about our busy schedules, you know, we might get overwhelmed and say, oh no, another thing. And I think it's important to remember that Jesus doesn't want us to put God at the center, not because he wants to add just another item to our busy schedules. God wants to be at our center because otherwise we run the risk of being full of activity in our lives and yet feeling empty at the same time. We run the risk of doing hundreds of things in our lives and yet not having a sense of unifying meaning if we don't have a deeper purpose that we're striving for. It's interesting. It's possible that studies are actually backing this idea up because from time to time, sociologists and psychologists just do surveys with the public in America, and they were surveying Americans, asking them how they feel generally, emotionally. And it's interesting that more and more people in our society are reporting a sense of meaninglessness, as if they're living their lives, but they're living their lives without direction. And it's interesting that this increase in a feeling of meaninglessness is increasing as participation in faith communities, participation in religion is decreasing. And maybe that tells us something, that when we fill our lives with all kinds of stuff, and it might even be good stuff, but we don't wrap it together with God, we don't include God in our priorities. It's kind of like, I like to think, if we bought a new car. Imagine you bought the most beautiful new car you can imagine. Beautiful on the outside, whatever kind of car it is. It has all the bells and whistles on the inside too. It has an MP3, it has a Bluetooth where you can talk on the phone while you're in your car. It has power windows, it has DVD players, it has leather seats with the warmers during the winter, it has GPS, it has everything you could want on the inside of your car, but it has no steering wheel, right? It's a beautiful car without a steering wheel. It has no direction, it's not heading to anything. I think keeping God at the center of our lives is meant to be our steering wheel in life. It's meant to guide us. It's meant to remind us of who we are and who God calls us to be. It's meant to remind us of our value and the value of our neighbor. It's meant to connect us to God and to each other and to connect us with a deeper purpose than we discover alone without God. And so maybe Jesus today reminds us of however we connect with God, whether it's worshiping with others or devotions in the morning or giving of your resources or prayer or service to other people or caring for people when they're hurting or being part of a faith community or reading scripture or singing hymns and religious songs or being part of faith discussions, whatever it is, and it's probably more than one of these, don't let these things be pushed aside to the bottom of your list. Because sometimes we think of these things as the extras, like on a car, the things that don't really matter. They're not the serious things. But I think Jesus tells us today they're not the extras. They're actually the steering wheel. They're what gives us direction in life. So today we can pray that the Holy Spirit would be among us all, reminding us to keep God at the center of our lives, to give us direction, to give us life, to give us love, to guide us throughout all our days. Amen. Let's stand as we continue.